The reading is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. This is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 24. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then Jesus tells the parable of the lost son. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let's just pray as we share God's word together. So, Father, we pray as we share your word this morning that you will just speak into our hearts and teach us something fresh from yourself, that we may grow deeper in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the theme for this morning is lost and found. So I thought I'd begin by reading something from Paddington Bear. You remember Paddington, that bear that came from darkest Peru and ended up on Paddington Station. Well, he's just arrived there. And this is what happens. Remembering the first rule for visitors, he stood up and went to say hello to everyone, only to be swept along by a wave of commuters charging towards platform 6. He lifted his hat politely and introduced himself to the throng. Good evening. Hello. Tipping it down, isn't it? To his dismay, no one replied. They were too busy going about their business. But being a determined bear, he tried again. But he had his hat knocked off. He crawled after it, buffeted by briefcases, as it was kicked along by a sea of feet. "Excuse me, ouch, sorry, my hat." He was about to get trodden underfoot when he managed to grab his hat and leap aside. He'd always been told that Londoners were friendly, and was beginning to wonder if he'd come to the right place. "Hello, excuse me, does anyone know where I can find a home? Anyone?" Disappointed and bewildered, he made his way over to a sign marked "Lost and Found" and sat on his suitcase. Poor Paddington. As we heard from the gospel reading, Jesus told three stories about being lost and found. One was a sheep, one was a coin, and one was a son. So let me just look at those three stories quickly. A shepherd has 100 sheep, but finds one missing, and that causes him great concern. Now you might think, why on earth bother with one sheep? You've still got 99. Why leave the 99 to find just one? But the shepherd doesn't think that way. He goes and searches for the one that is lost. And when he finds it, he doesn't shout at the sheep, no. He picks up the sheep and carries it home on his shoulders. And then there's great rejoicing, so much so he throws a party. A party for just one sheep. So what was Jesus perhaps teaching here? I think the lost sheep tells us that the shepherd did not want to lose even one sheep. And Jesus was like that. You see, Jesus loved individuals. Each one to him was special. No one was to be missed out. Jesus never said he couldn't be bothered to seek someone he wanted to speak to, someone who was lost. And what about the lost coin? A woman loses a coin, one of ten, we're told. Now, that could have been one coin of a 10-piece dowry jewelry piece. Could have been. In which case, it had huge emotional value. Or it could have been just the coin. That itself was valuable, about a day's wage, we're told. So for the woman, this coin was of great value to her. So she took a great deal of trouble to find it. We also suspect she was poor, because she needed a lamp to light in her house, probably had no windows. But again, she searches and searches and finds the coin. And what does she do? Throws another party. Another party. So what is Jesus saying here? It tells us just how much Jesus values those that are lost. He was the one that was looking for the ones that were lost, because they were on his heart. And Jesus always took time and trouble to find the ones that he thought were lost. And then the son. A father loses his son. The son takes his inheritance early and leaves home, and nothing is heard from him. Having blown all his money, ended up destitute and homeless, he decides, tail between the legs, time to go home, to seek forgiveness from his father. I think he must have approached that with great fear and trepidation, wondering what on earth his father would say. But what happens? His father is watching for him and sees him coming. I suspect he's been watching for him every single day since he left, just waiting. And what does the father do? He runs to meet his son, gives him a huge hug, and yes, another party. You know, it must have pained that father to see his son leave home in the way he did, and then hear absolutely nothing. But that pain gave way to joy when he saw his son coming up the road. And the father ran to him, greeted him, put a beautiful robe on him to show that he was his son, gave him a ring to show him his authority, and sandals to show he was a free man. Only slaves went barefoot. Yes, he was back in the family. He was accepted. He was loved. There's so much more to this story, but I really want to focus on that coming home bit this morning. You see, Jesus always reaches out to those who have made mistakes in their lives, even big ones like this son. To those, if you like, who just mess up in life. Jesus just longs for them to turn back. Not to be fearful of God, because God is always ready, in a sense, to run towards them and welcome them. God has given each one of us the freedom to choose what we do with our lives. But it must pain him if we turn away and ignore him and just go it alone. But what joy there is when we want to see, when we determine to seek forgiveness like that son did in that story. You see, God is always just waiting to welcome us. His love is completely unconditional. And his love is always a welcoming love. Welcoming grace, welcoming love. And as we look at these three stories, you will see that that which was lost was precious, really precious. The lost sheep was precious to that shepherd. The coin was precious to that woman. And that son was precious to his father. And all three, as they were seeking and waiting for the moment what they had lost was found, and then the joy when they found the sheep, the coin, the son. And those three words run throughout these stories: lost, found, joy. But hang on, why did Jesus tell these stories? What made him tell these three stories? He told these stories because the Pharisees were muttering. They were muttering that Jesus was mixing with the wrong sort of people. If Jesus was a teacher, if Jesus was a prophet, why should he be mixing with those the Pharisees saw as sinners? Didn't Jesus know who to mix with and who not to mix with? They decided who Jesus should talk to. It fitted their own prejudiced view of people. Isn't it ironic that when Jesus was preaching about including everyone, the Pharisees were trying to make Jesus exclusive? Only speak to the people we think you ought to speak to. Don't speak to them. And remember what Simeon said when Jesus was presented in the temple. Jesus said he had seen God's salvation, that baby Jesus, the light of the world. And he was the one who would bring about forgiveness. He was the one who would bring healing. He was the one who would bring restoration. New life now and when he comes again. And this salvation was available for all. The Pharisees could not see their need for Jesus. They refused to let the light of the world shine into their lives. They could not see that they were equally lost and equally in need of the transforming love and grace of God. I saw this quote recently. Blessed are the cracked, for they shall let the light in. Blessed are the cracked, for they shall let the light in. Until we accept that we are lost, we are broken, only then can the light begin to shine into our lives. If we had hardened our hearts like the Pharisees hardened their hearts, then the light cannot break in. So, three stories for the Pharisees. Jesus gave them three stories. Pictures for their minds and words for their hearts. But I hope these three stories shown you just how precious each one of you is to God. Just how much he loves you and wants you to know him. Now, maybe sitting here this morning, there's someone who's wandered away like that lost sheep and feels a long way away. Or maybe you're feeling in the dark like that coin in a dark place. Or maybe like the sun, somewhere along life's way, things have just gone wrong and you seem a long, long way from God. But the message of these stories of Jesus is that Jesus wants you to be found. He wants to call you back into his family. And I suspect many sitting here today along life's way were lost, and somehow God has found you. You each have your own stories. But if I reckoned if we listened to the stories, we'd all hear how someone found you. Someone brought you back to God. But there's one more thing that I think we need to learn about these three stories. And just for a moment, I need you to pop back to Paddington Bear. Because a family called the Brown family, if you remember, came to find or came across Paddington. The Brown family were walking along, and Mr. Brown was talking to the family about bathing ponds. Mr. Brown was about to tell them the percentage of people who drowned in ponds when he was distracted by a strange creature trying to chase a pigeon away with his hat. Thinking that it might be vicious, he tried hard to herd his family to safety. "Stranger, danger, keep your eyes down." "What's wrong now?" said Mrs. Brown. He lowered his voice. "There's some sort of bear over there, probably selling something. Don't make eye contact, or we'll never get rid of it." Mr. Brown was just not interested. "Keep your head down. Don't look. Keep walking. He's probably on the scrounge." But Mrs. Brown stopped and showed a little love to Paddington. And the interesting thing is that Jesus has left to us that mission of reaching lost people in the way he showed us throughout the 3 years of his ministry. You see, these three little stories, these three parables show us God as a searching father, looking out for the lost, seeking them, and then rejoicing when they were found. An essential part of God's character is about extending mercy, not only to those who stumble on it, but by his followers now always reaching out. The presentation in the temple of Jesus marked the close of looking back to Christmas and turns our eyes towards the cross. And these three stories are at the heart of the message of the cross, the message of active love. We, followers of Jesus, must become like our Master. We must have the same passion that he has. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. If you have lost this passion of reaching out to the lost, pray that you may get it back. If you lack this passion of reaching out for the lost, seek it from Jesus. As Pope Francis said, "Let us not allow ourselves to be robbed of the joy of evangelization," or "let us not allow ourselves to be robbed of the joy of seeking the lost." Those leaders who heard Jesus tell that story, those three stories, were appalled. They had no intention of mixing with, talking to, or reaching out to those that they did not see as worthy. But thankfully, Jesus did not listen. Instead, he told them these three stories about the lost, about the seeking, about the found, and about the joy of reaching those that do not yet know Jesus. So, our prayer this morning, let us not become complacent, but strive to reach those who are, if you like, sitting on a suitcase under a lost and found sign. Let us have the eyes to see those that are lost, the heart to reach out to them, and the joy of seeing them come back into God's family. Amen.